Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I'm very excited to talk about these five spiritual trends that Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, as you see right here behind me, that he wrote about, and it's just exciting prophetic fulfillments taking place. I want to just read you a couple of them. This is what's going to begin to take traction in 2016, and then John and I are going to begin to discuss this, and it's going to be just so encouraging, so you want to stay tuned to it. But one of the things we're going to talk about is a new reformation of the church will begin to take definition in 2016. That's exciting, a reformation, a reforming of the church. A council of leaders will begin to be formed with true apostolic authority. I mean, think about what happened with the apostles and what God did in the church and miracles and all the things taking place. A kingdom economy will begin to form. This is so exciting. We'll talk about how that actually is going to be the way that God's going to take care of his people. It's not the reason why it's happening, because it happens because we do everything in love, but it'll be an economy that will protect us from the mark of the beast and the beast economy. So exciting. You got to stay tuned to it. Also, we're going to be talking about a new generation of prophets and teachers will begin to emerge with unprecedented authority and influence. I mean, think about it. Of all the things that happened, you know, with Jesus, when he walked into a room, this is what they were surprised by. Who is this that's speaking with such authority? Who is this man? And I'm excited about the authority coming back into the church in a new way with teachers and prophets. It's not just teaching something, it's teaching it with authority. And he says, so many Christians, this is what we're talking about in just a moment, so many Christians will rise up in Europe and North America with zeal and focus that it will be recognized as another great awakening. We've been asking God every single day, God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. God's doing it. And the move is going to be so, in other countries other than America and Europe, it's going to gain traction in 2016 and begin. This is a beginning of things in 2016. And a new reformation of churches will begin to take definition. This is very exciting. Isn't it, John?
Very exciting. Listen, we've been sharing for quite a while about this is going to be some of the best of times and some of the worst of times. And God is speaking, and we're going to enjoy so much sharing and even discussing some of the things that the Lord has showed us that really kind of coincide. And we're seeing a convergence of all these prophetic words. And so if you've been down about the future, listen, don't be down. Look up, because God is getting ready to move in such a powerful way. You don't want to miss it. I'm really excited about this,
you know,
word.
God is, all this shaking is going on is God is shifting things into place. He's moving things around so that his plans could be fulfilled.
He is so good, you know?
He is amazing. He is amazingly good. And we're going to go through this word, you know, little by little, so that, you know, you get this inside of you. And this is a program that we ourselves will listen to again and again.
Oh, yes. We'll listen to all the programs.
Because we're planning on sharing, you know, prophetically what God has revealed to us about this. I mean, it bears witness of what God has said to us.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
So it's not some strange happening outside that we're kind of like, oh, that's kind of neat.
Right.
For us, it's really confirming and very exciting about what's taking place. But this is five spiritual trends that will take that will change the world in 2016.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Change the world. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and we were looking back, you know, recently on, you know, 1 year ago today, and it's amazing what God did in 1 year.
No doubt.
It's like lifetimes. You know, when we send out letters to our friends and partners and all of that, and we try to let you know what's going on. But if we told you everything, it'd be like an entire
book.
It'd be
too long. You wouldn't want to read it.
Yeah, we got to pick like the most, you know, thing that stood out the most, you know, the highlights of it. But this, you know, let's just start reading this word, and we're going to talk and break it down little by little as we go. And I want you to just get hopeful, because this is God's plan for his church. It's not his plan for the world, but it's his plan for the church. And think about this when you're seeing this. You know, America's pretty much formed the church and how America wants it to be. But you can go back to the blueprint in God's word, and you can say, this is exactly how he wants it to be. And so when you hear what's being said here in this word, go back to the biblical reference of the church, and it'll be a lot easier and a lot cheaper.
Oh, yes.
Does it cost as much money?
No.
You don't have to buy a $300 bouquet to sit at the top of the thing.
No.
Okay.
No.
So let's just see what, this is January 21st, it just came out.
Just came out, and this is Rick writing.
Okay.
The premise of my last prophetic bulletin on the five trends that would change the natural world in 2016 began unfolding faster and with more impact than I expected.
This is so important, because, you know, we're we're prophesying, and you never know, I mean, is this the day or is it next week or whatever? And he, as we were sharing earlier in our programs, that, you know, he projected a little bit further down. But what happened? The first, January the 1st, this thing started kicking in. I mean, January the 1st.
I wrote that it would happen in the first quarter of this year, but I honestly did not expect it to begin on the first day as it did. My prayer now is that what I've been shown, that it will unfold in the spirit, will, what is going to unfold in the spirit will likewise come faster and with greater impact. What is coming in the spirit is the antidote to the troubles of the world.
I'll say that again. This is so important because, you know, the world can be sick. The economy can be sick. The church can be sick. But when you're sick, you know, God's the healer, Jehovah,
that's right.
Jehovah Rapha.
That's right.
And so what is he going to give? This thing that's coming, that's, it could be turbulent and sometimes, it's going to be the cure for all this. It's the antidote to fix it. So we want to embrace this.
Absolutely.
You know? Say that again.
What is coming in the spirit is the antidote to the troubles of the world. It is far more exciting than anything the world has seen. We all see in part, but these are the five most important trends I saw unfolding that we will begin to see emerging this year.
So we're going to talk about the five trends.
Five things. First thing is a new reformation of the church will begin to take definition.
Now think about that. Now, reformation, what does that mean in regards to, somebody says they hear that all the time. You know, what does that mean to be a reformer? What does that mean to be a reformation? So you think about it, it's like the, it's reforming the church, where it was this way, and then God's hands just began to just reform it to be the original way he intended it, the original tent that we talk about all the time. And so you're looking at the church, how you see it today. I remember, you know, Brother Ken Summerall, who's now with the Lord with his reward, you know, he said, you know, in a few years, you won't even recognize the church. You won't be able to recognize it from what it used to be to what it is. And you'll see in this word here, it's going to be so different. It's going to be so exciting that everybody's going to want to be together all the time, which is kind of strange to the traditional mindsets. Like, I see them for 15 minutes on Sunday.
And that's it. I'm done.
Should I call you Reverend or should I call you Pastor?
Lord.
So that's one. Reformation. So if you don't like how it's looking and you're reading God's word and say it's not lining up, listen, God's going to begin to reform that thing. You want to be a part of that reformation.
That's right. Second thing is councils of leaders will begin to form with true apostolic authority.
Now that's exciting.
Very exciting
because, you know, where's the authority at? I mean, you look around today, where's the authority in the church? And where is it at? Politicians? Is it media? No, the church is supposed to walk around with authority that Jesus Christ gave us, and that's coming back.
Yes, the government of God, right?
Government of God.
A kingdom economy will begin to form.
Ooh, I'm so excited about that because, you know, that you're looking at this crazy economy, and we don't have time to talk about it, but George Soros is just talking about what's happening in China, and China's responding back to them going, don't you talk about our economy. But he says, I'm not making nothing happen. I'm just observing your economy crash, basically. Yeah. And but all of that's going to happen, and these are going to, even a beast-type economy shifting, but in that, God's going to have the kingdom economy that's going all along, so we'll be talking about that. So you don't have to worry about all that. But you need to be investing in the kingdom.
You got it in the king and the kingdom, right? Yeah. Absolutely.
Because, you know, according to George Barna, 97% of regular church gatherers that come together at least once every 2 weeks, that they aren't investing in the kingdom.
No.
They're not honoring God with his tithes and offerings. And he calls that in Malachi chapter 3, he says robbing him. So you want to unrob God.
That's an elementary thing, really. It's a heart thing.
That'd be crazy trying to shift economies when you're so by the way, just you want to start doing what God says and honor him
Absolutely.
With the first fruits of that.
Number four, a new generation of prophets and teachers will begin to emerge with unprecedented authority and influence. I said that. Number five, so many Christians will rise up in Europe and North America with zeal and focus that it will be recognized as another great awakening, while the moves of God and the rest of the world will gain new traction. A new reformation of the church will begin to take definition.
Well, you know, I don't think you did go over that one. You know,
did
first,
I? Number
no.
four, you, a new generation
yeah,
a new, of
prophets. Go ahead and say that one.
A new generation of prophets and teachers will begin to emerge with unprecedented authority and influence.
Well, maybe you did, but it just reminds me of what God just showed me, you know, in a time of a night vision. He's showing me in this dream. He shows me a place where all these eagles are lined up, you know, and they're perched, but they're coming in for a rest. And there's just, I mean, you very seldom see, you know, more than two or three eagles together at the most, sometimes just all alone. But this was like a whole line of eagles, which, you know, when you're talking about you know, a new generation of prophets and teachers. These prophets, when you see an eagle, quite often God's representing, God's speaking to us an imagery about prophets, and that, you know, that they can see further. Eagles can see further. They can soar higher. They can stay in the air longer. That's why you see Rick Joyner's ministry has an eagle there with Morningstar Ministries. And so, I mean, gosh, this is stuff that we're seeing, that God's showing us, that bears witness of what we're seeing here.
I think about this in terms of teachers. We've had some phenomenal teachers in the body of Christ throughout the years. The type of revelation is going to begin to unfold during this time is unprecedented. It's going to be absolutely glorious.
Yeah, dreams and visions. I mean, we're already seeing it, but you're going to begin to see it yourself. And believe me, whatever you what God says that you believe that He says, that will be released in your life. It's time to believe God for everything that He says, that everything in the Bible that says you can do. Everything in the Bible that says you can have. And if God has called you, then you can do everything God's called you to do. John and I are talking about this recent release from Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, about five spiritual trends that are beginning. This is going to change the world, that begins in 2016. And it's so exciting. We just began to talk about them, but let's continue on talking.
Number
about
five, so many Christians will rise up in Europe and North America with zeal and focus that it will be recognized as another great awakening, while the moves of God in the rest of the world will gain new traction.
That's so important. I mean, think about it. I mean, every single day, you're with us, you're hearing us, dear God.
Yes.
End abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. And look what God's saying. This is the year. This is the year.
That's beautiful. And to see what's happening, it's going to happen in Europe, because traditionally, I mean, it's just been a really hard area as of recent, but that's really good.
And when you think about awakenings, that, you know, revival is not somebody saying, we got somebody coming next week, we're going to have a revival.
Yeah, no.
Revival is where God shows up in a powerful way and things begin to change. But an awakening is where the DNA of a culture changes. The way you deliver mail changes. The way you do marriage changes. Just the shift in culture.
Yeah.
And so a great awakening is what we need. I mean, look at our DNA right now in our nation.
And it's really on a national basis, too. It's not like a regional thing. It's a national. It changes everything.
Yes.
A new reformation of the church will begin to rise to take definition. I've been seeing and speaking on this for many years. Over time, I've seen more of what of this will look like. One of the biggest changes with the greatest impact will be the body of Christ beginning to take on the military aspects as we are called to have to become the army of the Lord.
This is so important to pause on this, because we're not talking about taking up weapons.
No.
And that's not what he's talking about. But we're called to be, it's all about authority. I mean, you think about this. God sent his son Jesus so that we could see who God is. He showed us the face of God. You see the face of Jesus, you've seen the face of God. You know, he is Emmanuel, you know, God in the flesh, to dwell amongst us. But of all the things that the Son of God said, he said, you know, it was the centurion, the man who was in a place of a military position, that understood that you got to get up when the alarm goes off. Just a little thing. It's a little sign of the control room. And so, but the military really understands. People who are in the military, they understand God so clearly, because this is what God says. This is how it goes. And so the centurion, this is a centurion man who's not even a Jew. And Jesus came first for the Jews and then the Gentiles. And so in that context of that the centurion says, basically, I get it. You know, I too am a man under authority. So he recognized Jesus was under authority of the Father. He says, I tell one man to go and he goes. I tell one man to come and he comes. We're talking about that kind of, you know, wouldn't that be awesome if you actually speak to the church and the church does what God says?
That's amazing. It reminds me of Perry Stone's word about the gag order being removed from the church and how God gives us authority and power, but that authority is released when we speak it out. And so many times believers are paralyzed in that, because the enemy tries to just spew all this condemnation upon you, which makes you feel like you can't speak out. But as
we talked about in a previous program, too, about that as well. But not only just a gag order, but shackles.
Yeah.
There's shackles where people are just locked down. And when you begin, if a captain of your military branch, for example, tells you, hey, you need to get up at 5 o'clock, you need to go take that hill, and you need to come back and report to me, the lieutenant doesn't go, I don't want to do that. That's not fair. I want a new pastor. I mean, I want a new captain. I mean, you don't, this is how it works. But this is what, when Jesus heard this centurion say this, and centurion means he's over 100 soldiers,
He said, I understand how this thing works. I know who you are. I too am a man under authority. So you recognize Jesus under authority. So this move of God is about people who are under authority. And they'll easily stand out the ones that aren't. You just kind of like smile, like, oh, that's great. Yeah, yeah. But this is what God, because Jesus said nothing unless he heard the Father say it or do it. So God is speaking through Jesus and saying to the centurion, everybody around, we're still reading it today. He said, this centurion has the greatest measure of the substance that pleases me the most.
Mm.
The greatest amount of faith in all of Israel. What was it? It was authority. So it's about that kind of authority. Because when Jesus walked into a room, what did the demons say? Who is this one coming in before his time, you know? And the teachers of the law were going, who is this man that speaks with such authority? But where do you see authority? Well, what's coming is that kind of authority. We can get into ranks and we can go as one in Jesus, and we begin to do the things God's called us to do. I mean, it's exciting. I mean, I think about VFN Kingdom Business, where we're going, what's going on. But let's keep on reading. This is great.
Rick says, I just published a book on this entitled The Army of the Dawn.
You got to get this book. I think you're showing it now. Yes.
One pastor just told me he thought this was one of my best books yet. This is a matter of perspective and also timeless, but I will know its message is on time. We will see the greatest force for the gospel since the Lord himself walked on the earth.
So
think about that.
Wait a minute. I mean, you're reading what Jesus said was powerful, and he's talking about we're going to see a greater force in what's about to happen, because this is like end time
force
harvest.
For the gospel since the Lord himself walked on the earth.
Oh my goodness.
That's exciting.
It is very exciting.
Since this,
hey, I want to be a part of it.
Yeah, me too.
Since this, you
be a part? I definitely want to be a part.
Be a part. Do you want to be a part? Listen, you got to make a decision if you're going to be a part. You got to say, I want to be a part of it. You can't just watch it. Most people are watching things, John.
Mm-hmm.
They watch things happen, and they talk to you like they did it.
Like they voyeuristically, like, you know.
Yeah, but it's like you're not really doing it if you're not doing it,
mm-hmm.
which also means you're not connecting and that type of thing, but it's actually getting active and getting involved. That's exciting.
Everybody has a role to play.
Yes.
Get in your place, right? The second aspect
is a grace for your place.
Yeah, there is.
You're thinking if you're struggling where you are, you're not in your place. But if you get in the place that God's called you, there's a grace for that. It's, you know, where we are, we can only stand because God has put a grace on our life to do what we're doing. We could not do it.
No.
But God said do it, so we did it. I mean, here we are all these years later. But there's a grace, and he could lift that grace, and you would just crumble. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be intimidated about it. If God has called you to do it, he'll put a grace if you get in your place. And you got to stay in your place and man your post.
Yeah. Yes. The second aspect of this reformation I was shown is how the body of Christ will become the city it is called to be.
Wow.
A change is coming to church life that will be more profound than we have yet seen. It will be based upon koinonia than ecclesia. This does not negate the need for ecclesia, which is the government and the structure of the church, but according to 1 John 1:7, we abide in the light by having koinonia, not ecclesia. Koinonia determines if we are walking in the light because it is based on love first, not organization first. Again, this is not negating the need for organization and government, but it is a matter of getting the horse in front of the cart and building on the right foundation.
Now, this is a paradigm shift for the American church.
Oh, yeah.
The reason why you would show up is because everybody you're showing up with, you know them, you love them, you've eaten with them, you prayed with them, you know their life. And you're compassionately connected to them.
And you're bringing something for them. So many times people have the mindset, believers, that I'm going to church so I can get, not necessarily so I can give.
Stick a napkin in here and then
just feed me.
Feed me.
Did
and then judge.
Think,
and then like judge like some sort of program on television. Ah, give it a 4.
Yeah, it wasn't the best one today. Was
Pass
it
the potatoes.
Wasn't the best one.
I mean, I'll put it 4. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, but they were never in it. They weren't on the stage singing when everybody
spectating.
So this is so important. So it's koinonia is about, you know, God wants, he moves in koinonia. You move in koinonia. Mm. When people authentically love you, when you have people that show up and they're being nice to you, you're like, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And by the way, I need $1,000. No, whatever, they want something.
Yeah.
But then you have, you know, authentic people who will stick with you and stay with you. And this is where the church is supposed to be. And when you have that, you know, Psalms 133 says that's the place of the commanded blessing.
Mm.
This is where God goes, I got to bless that. I got to bless that. And you don't have to pump it up and promote it anymore. You just got to unite and move in koinonia. But what happens is you got to change how you're meeting. Everybody that gathers right now, potentially, you know, we started gathering in a certain way to probably everybody that gathers in most churches in America are all facing in one direction.
Yes.
You know, not everybody. There's a large segment that's getting this. But you're going to have to start looking at each other. And it's harder to do than you think, because I remember when God called us out to do this, we were like, I could worship God as long as I was looking at the back of someone's head.
Yeah.
And I could find God. I don't care how much hair you had, didn't have, what kind of hat you had, I could find God. But then when you had to look at each other, because you're actually in a circle kind of format and you're praising God, it's a different kind of thing.
Sure.
And then you got to really care about the people that you're with. And that's what God wants. That's the price that needs to be paid for having that kind of koinonia relationship. And that's where this authority is going to lie. That's where these teachings are going to lie. All these things that we're talking about is going to happen.
That's how the harvest is going to come in too, when they see the love we have for one another, that we're showing up for each other, for God, you know.
And one simple thing that you can do, you know, thinking about this, and this is what, you know, Rick did at Morning Stars, is what we did at the Dream Center, but we have also a network of other churches that meet in houses, and so they actually have that kind of casual environment where they're eating, and but it's under the authority of God. But he put in round tables, like 5 foot, 8 foot round tables, and people sat around those tables when they met. His teaching still goes forth, worship still goes forth, but you're talking, you're looking at somebody, you're praying with the people around you, you're getting that koinonia time. And as simple as removing your pews or even your padded chairs that are facing one direction and get them to face around a round table, just order a table. Order a simple, a large table that you can keep, you know, put significant people around. And you keep the same building and start building relationships. Those relationships are going to be so important where we're going. That's going to be the thing that holds you together. When we went to New Orleans after the hurricanes in New Orleans, I mean, this church was scattered all over America.
Yeah.
And they didn't have those relationships that they needed to be able to hold things together. But it's just exciting. Yeah. So that's one of the things that we'll be talking more about.
Yes. So the koinonia says this, the result will be spectacular. The fellowship and the union coming to the body of Christ will cause the church to be the city set on a hill that gets everyone's attention.
I know we got to go to break here, but, you know, so often you hear the church in America kind of morphed America around itself, and all of a sudden Christians in America think that America is a Christian, you know, versus, you know, it's a Christian nation founded on a Christian principle, but you're the Christian, you're the church. And so America wasn't necessarily the city on the hill, but the church in America is the city on the
hill.
Right. The church is supposed to be that city on the hill.
The light.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Well, we got this offer for you just for partnering with us. It's an exciting offer. You really need this one thing in 2016. We're going to continue these five spiritual trends in 2016. We're talking about this article written by Rick Joyner, Five Spiritual Trends That Are Going to Change the World.
Emerging this year, some already in the first quarter.
Yeah. I mean, you see terrible things happening in these particular locations, but what happens is it's good things are going to happen there.
That's
it's like the soul's being broken up. You know, wow. Okay. So we're reading this article of Rick Joyner's Five Spiritual Trends That Are Going to Change the World in 2016. We're going to make this all available to you on the VFN Torch, but John, go ahead. We want to continue.
It will be the greatest society the world has seen since the first century.
So we're talking about the church
here.
The
church.
All of a sudden, it's the greatest society.
Yes, eclipsing even what was experienced then.
I thought societies have to work together and unify, right?
Yeah, around Christ, yes.
This is exciting.
This is very good.
This is so exciting. We're going to get along, and it's going to be great.
Loving, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
The glory of the latter house will be greater than the former, Haggai 2:9, causing the church to become the light it is called to be in the dark and confusing times the world is sliding into.
It reminds me, you know, and this our partners, you have this available for you, Children of the Light.
Mm.
But God has specifically called us to be children of the light. He says that the glory of the Lord is over you, that even though gross darkness and thick darkness is over the people and over the world, that light is on you, and that kings will come to your light. So the darker it gets, the lighter your light will look to those that are in darkness. So people will begin to come to that light. That's so important. This is exciting.
Yes.
This is exciting.
This fellowship will become so wonderful that Christians will want to meet every day. Christian communities will begin forming again, having their own infrastructure.
Wait a minute. Every day?
Listen. Yes, and ultimately their own economy.
Well, I remember when when revival hit at Brownsville,
yes.
Father's Day 1995, you know, we were serious. We had church on Wednesday, we had church on Sunday morning, and we had church on Sunday night.
Before revival.
Before revival, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that was like intense. If you showed up, you know, that was big.
If you came Sunday night, you were real.
That was the crew that's really going to go. Anyway, so when revival hit on Father's Day 1995, nobody wanted to leave.
No.
I mean, so much so that Elmer, it was over the building maintenance, he would actually get the light switch at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and just shake the light switch and just say, "You got to go home. We got to come back in a couple hours."
Yeah.
And then everybody would go to they would still stay together, and they would go to all the restaurants, and they would eat and have breakfast. And
that really was beautiful. Yeah. I mean, because that happened.
It's not a negative thing. I mean, you're in the glory of God, and it's like an exciting thing.
Nobody wanted to leave. Everyone's fellowship with each other. Yeah. There was a continual, every day there were testimonies of people getting saved, people getting healed, people encountering the power and the glory of God.
Desperate people coming that were so dry.
Hungry.
They had tons of religion. Pastors were getting saved.
Yes.
I mean, it was wild.
Yes. And you saw that communion. You're right. Yes. And I remember, you know, you go to the restaurants and people were still, praying for each other and falling out and the witches were being blessed.
Right.
It was a really amazing, glorious time.
I mean, just didn't want it to end. And then when you went to sleep, you would just didn't want, and you were just lay there, just a solid log.
Yeah.
Just, it's amazing how, what, it's just, this is going to be an awesome time. You know, prepare for it. It's not going to be like these times. It's going to be this new thing that's coming.
Of course, we won't see this happen in a year, but we will see the beginning of it. Ultimately, no sporting event, entertainment, or other event will compare with the life and excitement found in the church. Praise God.
Not even the Saints?
No, not even the Saints. Or the Mets, for that matter.
Mets?
Mets. I threw that in there for you.
Mets? What is that?
Mets.
Mets.
Yes.
Is that a mint or something? What is that?
Number two.
Okay. Councils
of leaders
okay.
will begin to form with true apostolic authority. I was first shown in 1987 that this was coming, and I think this has happened to a degree in some places, but not on the level that I saw. This year, we will begin to see the real thing, but it's in its formative stage. Ultimately, these councils will help release extraordinary authority and life in the church. They will moor the church to its right biblical foundation, giving it the stability that some of the greatest missions and ministries will be built upon.
That's so important, because moors are like your oars that you paddle with, and it helps guide the ship and direct the ship, and that this is going to be those moors that begin to bring the church where God wants it to be. And it's encouraging, because you're thinking, like, what's it going to take? To get the church where it needs to be.
On the right foundation.
On the right foundation. And, one specific thing that we're going to be talking about in a moment, but we have a whole series on the heart of Nehemiah, rebuilding the walls. Mm. And Nehemiah is a very significant part of this word. We can learn from Nehemiah how to reestablish things in the church again.
This year, we will see increasing grace on leadership meetings, especially those that cross denominational and movement boundaries, beginning to bring the necessary interchanges and cross-pollination in the church.
Now, this reminds me of VFN Kingdom Business.
Oh, yeah.
The seven mountains. We talk about that all the time. And you may have been looking at it, years back when we're talking about it, you're thinking, what is that? And now you're going to begin to see that is that. We're supposed to go into all the world and make disciples of the nations and be influential in each of these mountains. And one of them is the business mountain,
yes.
The economy, how things operate. And you can go to vfnkb.org. As a partner, you can actually begin to gather. Even we have some things there for you right now as a VFN Kingdom Business Partner. But also, we're going to be having meetings, gathering specifically on that. Maybe it's education. We have the Education Mountain, the Arts and Entertainment Mountain. We have Media Mountain. We have interns that work with us all the time at the studios at VFN TV, the daily radio program. Maybe that's something that you're going to want to be a part of. It's about investing the talent God's given you, not just showing up to hear another song, to hear another message. It's to do what God is saying. So it's very exciting, very exciting.
A kingdom economy will begin to form. Ultimately, the body of Christ will have its own economy that will grow with consistency and strength. Because of this, no Christian will need to be concerned about the mark of the beast. However, this is not just about having an alternative to the beast. It is laying a foundation for the economy of the coming kingdom of God, one built on the greatest economic principle, love never fails.
It's so important. That's the koinonia again. The reason why you're doing business with her or him, because you love them and you love God. You're not talking price. You're talking, how can we do this thing where we both benefit from this?
That how can we bless you? Yes.
How can we bless you? I mean, that's what VFN TV, with all of our sponsors and all of our partners, we're like, how can we make your life better?
Instead of asking for a discount because you are a Christian, you actually want to give more because you are a Christian. How can I pay you more for this service?
Definitely. And so the beast economy is kicking in. We're watching it. We've talked about it. God has shown us. We've mentioned it several times. And you've got to begin to flow, be open to what God's going to begin to do, because there's going to be economy. I mean, look at the Jews. The Jews have a wonderful insight on how to have, you know, inner economy inside of their people group. Mm. And they do they're making really good funds, making good money.
Yes.
And the church is going to begin to move like Israel. We're going to begin to move in that way where we can be a blessing to others and not just be a taker.
That's right.
And I'm excited about that because, yes, you know, great wealth is about to shift into the kingdom of God, but God is looking for somebody who can be entrusted with great wealth.
Not only that, but maybe you're watching right now and you feel like you have an anointing for business.
Yes.
And you're a believer. Listen, God wants to anoint you for business. He's going to touch you. He's going to give you principles, creative ideas, and he's going to bless the work of your hands. But you're going to be blessed so that you can be a blessing.
Blessed to be a blessing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We are talking about the five spiritual trends that's going to change the world in 2016 that Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, is writing about. Also, as you see this book, you can find out more details about it. This book has spread the world already, but as it's called the Army of the Dawn, Army of the Dawn, and I couldn't stop reading it. As a matter of fact, I want to read it again.
Wow!
And so we have a lot of our leaders that are reading it right now because it is like a timely. I mean, Rick has this ability. Rick Joyner has this ability to hear, and he's been hearing since 27 years, but he knows the timing when to loose it, like the call, Final Quest.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and
Torch and the Sword.
I mean, it's just amazing. He's been given much as expected. So let's continue. We're going to continue reading. We're in which particular trend?
We're talking about the kingdom economy.
Yes.
Continues to write that as world markets continue to shake, plunge, and collapse.
Wait a minute. As they continue to shake, plunge, and collapse. Okay.
Yes. Which is a lot of convergence of what the Lord has been showing us. And we've those who have been watching VFN TV, you know, we've shared quite a bit.
Because the kingdom of God will never go down.
No.
So if you're in the kingdom of God, everything's going to be great.
That's what he says. The kingdom economy cannot go down because there will be no end to the increase of his kingdom, Isaiah 9:7.
Well, what happens for the people that are not in, I mean, they're Christians, but they've never moved, and they're robbing God, they're not giving his tithes and offerings,
not
they're not
a good place to
honoring
be.
God in their life. I mean, are they in which economy are they in? I think you can tell by candidates whatever candidates people are supporting is like, oh my goodness, you know, is that the one? That's one's like, some are like world candidates, and some are like, you know, candidates that honor God and talk openly about their faith
in God.
And it's like, and that's the kingdom.
It's kind of a telltale sign. It really is.
That's the kingdom. If you have somebody that wants to be the leader of your country, your state, your community, and they're saying, you know, I love God, I follow God, I believe the word of God is the Bible of God is the word of God, and that I want to live my life that way, and I believe in, you know, that's somebody you're going like, that's kingdom.
Right.
That's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess when we're actually going to make decisions this year for candidates, from all the way from president all the way down to your sheriff, whoever, that you need to think, we need a kingdom leader.
Absolutely.
Because the people are the ones that determine who's going to be the leader.
Right. Vote godly values.
Don't vote money because money might not be there.
That's right. Well, it's not going to be there.
If it's the world's.
That's right. It's not going to be there. So whatever's truly built on the kingdom has to increase. For those looking for a safe place to put investments, it won't go any. It won't get any safer or better than the emerging kingdom economy. For those saying, where is it? You can't see it. If you do not see the kingdom. If we can see the kingdom, we will see its economy as it emerges.
Now those are the folks that think you're crazy because you're giving as much as you can to as many people as you can in the name of God.
Yes.
You're just trying to, just because that's the kingdom. Give, and it will be given to you.
Press
down. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Whatever measure you use in your giving will be measured back to you.
That's right.
So if you want a lot,
that's right.
You got to sow a lot. You give a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's kingdom.
Kingdom. We must be born again to see the kingdom, but not everyone who is born again sees the kingdom, which is important.
Yes.
To see the kingdom, we must use the key to the kingdom. This key is in Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
I thought when you get saved, you go into a church and you learn how things are done in that particular paradigm, like their policies and their new programs and all that. You're supposed to seek that, you know, how the Sunday school works.
No. Right? You're supposed to seek the kingdom, God's way of doing things.
You mean all this other seeking that has nothing to do? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. That's why the Reformation's first. Coming. That's why Reformation's
seek
coming.
Seek first the kingdom of God. And you'll be peculiar at first because a lot of folks aren't necessarily seeking the kingdom, but there will be. Because it's this one crew that's already there is going to awaken the church.
Yeah.
And there's nothing bigger, stronger, more powerful, and more glorious than an awakened church.
And I think we're going to see that too emerge as well, and a teaching, a rediscovering of the kingdom of God and
what it is.
We serve a king,
and
he has a kingdom. And the problem is that as many believers are trying to live in two kingdoms at the same time, it really doesn't work that way. You need to be about one kingdom.
I'm so excited about Kingdom Impact 100. It's going to be coming soon. Goodness. But imagine this. 100 people once a year who give, you know, they can give throughout the year, but at the end of the year, they've given $1,000, and they determine where that $100,000 is going to go. And you have to do this. You have to pray and meet all year long. What is the kingdom? What is the kingdom? Because this whole, you know, Kingdom Impact 100 is not about, you know, let me just go, you know, get some soup at the soup kitchen. Let me go do this. I mean, that could be kingdom, but you have to really hunt and pray and ask God, what is the kingdom? Reveal your kingdom to me.
That's
seeking
beautiful.
It, right?
Wow.
And imagine, you know, if they found out that what you were doing was kingdom, and all of a sudden this group of 100 gave you a check for $100,000.
Wow.
That's what we want to do.
For the advancement of the kingdom.
VFN Kingdom Business. I mean, that's what it's all about.
That's awesome. A new generation of prophets and teachers will begin to emerge with worldwide authority and influence. The Holy Spirit is moving. One characteristic of every true move of the Spirit is a growing love of the truth and an increasing love for the Scriptures.
Well, they'll love it. Everybody will love it. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
I mean, when you love the Word of God, I mean, it's exciting in your abiding time. By the way, beginning to abide now. Learning how to abide with God is so important because he says, apart from abiding in me, Jesus said, you can't even do any of this. And we have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You know, most people want to abide. They want to spend that time with God, but they need a plan. We have a free plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You just fill out that little simple request thing. It comes right to you in your email, and it's a great step-by-step.
That's beautiful.
How you can begin to abide with him. Listen, you want to begin to hang out with the king. Since his kingdom is manifesting, it's be the greatest thing he's ever done in the face of the earth is about to happen. You want to know the king.
And you see a transformation from duty. This is what I got to do from a love. This is what I get to do.
Can you imagine having hours and hours to abide and
This, you know, it's the saddest moment in the morning. End your abiding time and leave your place of sitting with the Lord, you know?
Yeah.
But we get to, which is awesome.
But good soldiers would do that, you know, because once you hear the orders and you spend time with the captain, you enjoy it. But he says, be on this hill, be on that television program, be out here doing this, and then we go do it.
Yeah.
But we hurry up and come back and go, and then we talk about what
happened. Extended, absolutely.
Yes.
At the same time, many called as teachers to the body that have devoured the Word of God and accumulated knowledge and understanding on a host of topics will be used to build the church, preparing it for what is called to be in these times. The Lord really has saved the best wine for last.
Oh, yeah.
The quality of what he will serve his people will eclipse anything ever experienced before. But think about that. The quality of what he will serve his people will eclipse anything ever experienced before.
Oh, if he's heard. Are you not excited about this? Listen, God's going to win. If you didn't know that, when people are having all these weird little negative dark threats, God's going to win. Mm-hmm. If you want to be on the winning side, you make a decision for Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. It's so important to be able to do that. I don't know if we're going to be able to cover all this, but I want to say this before we move any further. If you're hearing all this and you're thinking, man, that's a strange place. I don't understand what they're talking about. It's because you have not yet made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. But when you do that, you have eyes to see. All of a sudden, your spirit begins to bear witness like, I like that. You might not understand it, but you're drawn to what God is doing. Well, you can make a decision right now and say, you know what? I didn't realize Jesus was a king. I thought he was some religious figure. No, he's the Son of God. He is a King of kings and Lord of lords. You know, the book of Revelation is all about him. He's so awesome. But you can make a decision right now. Listen, Jesus was given by God, his Father, as a sin sacrifice to walk as we walk in a place where he didn't sin so that he could be a sin offering for us. And he gave his life for us. We were supposed to die for our sins. We're supposed to be destroyed. We're supposed to, you know, but he said, you know, I love you so much that I'm going to give, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son, Jesus. He loves you. Why? So he made a way for you to get right with him, to get in right relationship with him, to forgive your sins. And what happened was when he died on that cross, he took on the sins of the world. And they put him in the grave. And 3 days later, the Father says, that's enough. Get out of here. And boom, he took him, raised him from the dead, 40 days on the earth, to be able to say, hey, I'm here, this is going, this is what I want you to do, gave the Great Commission. But then he went to go sit at the right hand of the Father. Why did he do this? So that he wants you to be in his army. He wants you to be a part of the family. He wants you to be in this koinonia, this kingdom, this economy, all these things that we're talking about. How do you do that? You go, Jesus, I've sinned.
Mm.
I've failed. You know, I tried it my way and it just didn't work. Would you forgive me for my sins? Would you cleanse me from all unrighteousness? All that stuff, whether it's lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, whatever it is, greed, I mean, idolatry, even your whole conversation for the last 10 years has been about you. God, forgive me for that. Forgive me. You know what he does? It's right now, say, God, forgive me. I want you. I want you. And say, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I mean, you're going to miss out. This is what eternity is like. This is just a taste of eternity happening on earth beginning this year based on these five spiritual trends. But will you be a part of it, or will you be the ones looking in awe of what's going on? This is what you do. Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life.
Mm.
Come dwell inside my heart. I want to be with you. I want to be with the Father. Jesus, I want you to be the Savior of my life. And guess what? When you do that, he says, here I am, forgiven, gone, you're cleansed. Fresh as a baby skin, you're just like ready for God. All that sin is gone. He's forgiven you of that. Now it's for you to get in relationship with God. Well, first of all, you want to hear about some of our testimonies. We shared a couple of them at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Then you got to get to know him. That's called learning stuff about him. That's, this religious spirit has gotten on this word called discipleship. But really what it is I just want to know about him. I want to know what he thinks and what he wants in my life. And you begin that road down like Emmaus Road, where your heart begins to burn as he begins to reveal to you what's going on in your life and in his word. And all, it's just powerful. And then you want to begin to abide with him. Hopefully you'll make that decision today. I want to pray with you right now before we come to a close. We're going to make all this available to you on the VF and Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. And if you made that decision to come into the family, welcome to the family of God. Write to us.
Yes.
Message us. Let us know. We got some free gifts for you. Father God, I just thank you for this exciting shift that's taking place. The tide is turning in 2016, God. We thank you for your kingdom. We thank you for your power and your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace. Lord, I just pray for each and every one who just made a decision for you, Lord. Even right now, Lord God, you would begin to gather them and draw them to the place that you want them to be, the relationships, the koinonia relationships you want them to be, so they can be rightly related to what you're doing in your body. Father God, I thank you for them. Lord, and we ask you, Lord God, that you would end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.